Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Seven FM the Fan, 12 of the AM, and the free radio.com app.
That's why I like you, Roy.
A Green Bay.
Can't believe it.
You got, you know, you, I don't know if you people know, you gotta have a friend, though. You do. I just, every guy, you gotta have a friend like Leroy. Like,
oh.
You, cause you can
you're gonna say like Ryan Wood.
Well, him too.
Mm-hmm.
But Woody got to go with me and Leroy got to be, cause Woody like that brown. He like that brown stuff too.
Yes. He's not old enough to drink.
Yeah, he does. So having a friend like Leroy who doesn't drink, you're golden.
That is helpful.
Save your money. You ain't got to worry about no Uber.
Mm-mm. No, you don't even need it on your app. You don't even need the app on the phone.
Just Ryan, this keys. Guy walked into a Waffle House and said, hey, give me some pancakes.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
It's a Waffle House, you weirdo.
Ryan, you ever go to a Waffle House and hang out for the Senior Bowl that we're watching here right now?
Go with me, Gary.
You know what? That is like a religious institution down south. I've been a couple
yes,
of years down there. So, yes, I've been at a Waffle House. I've never walked into the pancakes, but no, I've been down there.
Now, the best...
Jared was laughing
this
so
This is
hard.
How you know it's a great Waffle House. I'm going to give you a prerequisite. And if this doesn't happen to you,
the waitress
you walk
always
out.
Calls you sugar?
No.
Oh. Hey, sugar.
When you walk in... If you slide across the floor on the grease, it's a good Waffle
butter.
House.
On the butter grease.
That's true.
You have to put your skates on. Yes. You have to, if you slide across the floor on your feet, then you know it's a good Waffle House. If your shoes go squeak, you walk out.
Never been to a Waffle House
Never
before.
Been to a Waffle House?
Never been to a Waffle House before.
Oh, about the covered hash browns, yeah. Smothered hash browns.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. Smothered hash browns.
Scattered. Yeah,
so good.
Steve
scatter
the hash browns. They scatter them all over the grill. And they scramble the eggs with a spoon. 100. Dead serious.
Okay, let's get into some football conversation.
Hey, Ryan,
I'm getting hungry.
Can I get my burning question out?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you want me to just
No, you go first.
Because I
you're the Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you're Hall of Famer.
Go ahead,
man.
I don't be using
I'll just
that
turn my mic off.
Go on,
fine.
Man. Go on, man.
Listen.
Go ahead.
I just have some burning questions.
Hey, you look like New Jersey Nets today, though, just so you know.
New Jersey Nets?
Yeah.
What color are they?
Huh?
Black and white.
They don't have New Jersey anymore. It's Brooklyn.
Man, get to your
same
question,
thing.
Man.
Isn't it Brooklyn, Steve?
Same thing.
It's Brooklyn now.
Yeah, it's Brooklyn. Man.
Like New Jersey Nets, man. I'm old school.
If you don't know now, you know.
Don't look like the Nets.
Hey, man, listen. Let's get to this question.
My mic.
When you found out about Pettit.
When you found out.
Was it a discussion about the assistants? Are they going to bring the whole staff back, or is he free to make a change?
Matt LaFleur is very clear today that they're evaluating everything. I thought the ambiguity when he was asked specifically about Mike Pettine was interesting until he gets off the podium and decides, okay, he's going to stay.
Yeah.
So he's pretty clear he's going to evaluate everything. I don't know who's going to stay, who's going to go.
Oh, okay.
Anyone's going to go. But Mike Pettine will be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, because we had some discussion about, hierarchy, who's in charge of what, and I think he mentioned something about he has to talk to Murphy. And then some people think, why wouldn't he just talk to Gutekunst about whatever? And I think they still do that. But my question is, I just want to know this, and I don't know if you know this or not, but they brought him in. And he says, listen, we'll keep you, but you got to make some changes with your on your staff. Most of those guys won't do that, and they'll just part ways. But wasn't he a lame duck anyway, or did he have another year in his deal?
I'm honestly not sure.
Yeah, I thought he was up after this year, but maybe I'm wrong.
No, I need to do some digging on that. But, you know, everyone's different. Some guys are like that. Some guys want the job. And, you know, I'll say this for me. It never, and it's not a universal opinion, but it never made sense to me to move on from Mike Pettine after this year. I never saw any sense in that. So I'm not surprised. I was curious when, you know, when Matt LaFleur did not give an endorsement today, when he this morning.
Well, let me ask you: do you think he misspoke on that then? Because that was a quick turnaround to clean that up.
I'm not sure if he did or not. He might have intentionally left his answer vague to kind of make sure that he had a conversation first. So I don't know if I'd say that he misspoke, but it was a quick turnaround. 3 days later, after that debacle in the NFC Championship game, they've decided to keep him. And look, the bottom line is that this defense did show gains in year two. There was improvement. For the first time since 2010, when they won the Super Bowl, they were top 10 in scoring. Their 19.6 points per game were only 0.2 behind the San Francisco 49ers in scoring defense. Now, they took steps back. They're 18th in the league this year in yards. They were 15th in Pettine's first year. They allowed 7 more yards per game this year than the first. So there was turbulence in the defensive performance, especially when you consider all the money they pumped into that side of the ball, adding 3 starters in free agency, the 2 first-round picks. It was not completely smooth, but there certainly were gains. To be a top 10 scoring defense for a team that hadn't done that in a decade, that's not nothing.
Talking with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and our Green and Gold Insider here on The Fan. It's your chance at a $1,000 signing bonus. All you need is this hour's cash keyword. That keyword is Ocean, O-C-E-A-N. Text Ocean to 72881. Message and data rates do apply. Next chance to win comes up tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on The Fan. Ryan, which comment were you more taken aback to? The Mike Pettine conversation, or, like me, where Matt LaFleur kind of open and honestly questioned the intensity and effort of his team one game away from the Super Bowl?
Well, the thing I wondered is if the two were mutually exclusive, or if that was kind of in conjunction with each other.
That's a good point.
It all kind of depends on how Matt LaFleur views and evaluates where effort comes from. Is it on the players to be self-motivated? Is it the coaches that need to make sure that the players provide the effort that need to happen? It's a damning thing when you talk about not have playing with effort in the NFC Championship game. If you're not going to do it then, when are you going to do it? It's a very fair question to bring up. So, you know, both of those, it was still kind of vague. I don't know if that was to say that Mike Pettine and his coaching staff didn't get his players to bring out enough effort, or if that's more on the players, but certainly he was not pleased with the lack of effort that he saw Sunday.
What about special teams? Because those sucked. is there a chance that they make changes there?
Could. You know, he's evaluating everything. We haven't heard anything on Sean Benenga. There were certainly improvements late in the season once they got Tyler Irving in the return game. The cover teams were much better than years past, especially when you consider how much penalties there were under Ron Zook. Sean Benenga did clean up the units in terms of playing clean and just not making mistakes and having a lot of penalties. Now, there weren't many explosive plays, obviously, and that's big. And for a guy who was drafted in the 5th round, we've seen the talent of J.K. Scott, but it's still very inconsistent. I mean, he's had some really bad punts and bad moments. That a guy who is a drafted punter, who has Pro Bowl talent, who Brian Gutekunst has described as rare, he needs to get over that hump and be a consistent performer. We haven't seen that.
You know, we often talk about, too, since this whole coaching staff and all that came up and all the hierarchy, then maybe there was, and I don't know if it's misspoke, but don't we still feel like that though Murphy is still maybe involved in talking to everyone? Because it always comes back up at this time of year when they evaluate talent, who's drafting who. Is it still in play the way they said it is?
Very much so. Matt LaFleur said that he's going to meet with Mark Murphy, and that would be part of the postseason evaluation process. So, you know, LaFleur said that it wasn't like he was meeting weekly during the season with Mark Murphy, but there every couple weeks he and general manager Brian Gutekunst, Russ Ball would all meet. That triumvirate would meet with Mark Murphy to be on the same page, make sure they're communicating. And I guess you would say that the results were effective. I mean, they were 13-3 with a first round bye and got to the NFC Championship game. So, but the interesting thing to me, and really this is clear for Matt LaFleur, is clear for the team as a whole, what happens when they actually experience adversity for the first time?
Exactly.
Because there was just no adversity at all this season. Losing in the NFC Championship game, they lost to a better team, and mm-hmm. that happens at this level. It was smooth sailing for a rookie year. It's probably not going to be that way next year. Matt LaFleur was very blunt and open and honest about that. You know, you can't expect the same smooth sailing next year that you got this year, and you got to show up expecting it to be harder, because it probably will be. That is going to be a real test. We didn't see it this year. When it does come next year, how they handle and respond to that will be very interesting.
Talking with Ryan Wood, our Green and Gold insider here on The Fan from the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. Ryan, on the offensive side of the football, and I know this will probably be addressed with Brian Gutekunst, who will talk on Friday at 11 a.m. On the offensive side of the football, is it just playmakers on the perimeter that you believe that they need to upgrade? Or I know this is unpopular for a lot of people to hear, but you think they also need to add maybe to running back to be able to beef up that depth? Because you just talked about the adversity that they'll face. I mean, when they lost Jamal Williams in that Eagles game, it completely severed the game plan, and they were unable to go. Primarily all year long, they ran with two active running backs.
Well, let's be real, too. I mean, once they got to the postseason and they didn't have to preserve Aaron Jones anymore, you saw the evaluation gap of what they think of Aaron Jones.
True.
And Jamal Williams. Aaron Jones had 39 touches and 33 carries in two postseason games. Jamal Williams had 7 touches and 4 carries in 2 postseason games. It was not close. I think it's mandatory that this offense adds depth in the backfield, because if you want to look at the closest example and scheme that there is to Matt LaFleur's offense in the league, it's Kyle Shanahan. And what do they have other than a three-headed monster, 3 guys, and Raheem Mostert, Tevin Coleman, and Matt Breida? Each of those guys had over 500 rushing yards this year. Each of those guys led their team in rushing in multiple games this season. And even in the postseason, Tevin Coleman was their leading rusher against Minnesota in the divisional round. Then obviously Raheem Mostert went off in the NFC Championship game. The 49ers, their run game comes at you in waves. It's one guy after another, each guy dangerous. The Packers don't have that. They have a phenomenal talent in Aaron Jones, a phenomenal, legitimate Pro Bowl talent. But there's a big gap behind him. And to really maximize what this scheme wants to accomplish in the run game, they're going to need more depth than Aaron Jones is great, but he's just one guy.
All right, so since we're talking about depth, what to do with the tight end position for this team going forward?
Tight end, receiver, I mean, what? In the two groups, you have Davante Adams and a bunch of question marks. So they've got to decide, why didn't Marquez Valdes-Scantling play at the level he has shown flashes of as a rookie? Why did he get into a slump? They've got to decide what they have in Equanimee St. Brown, whose season ended on IR. That's going to be an evaluation process. They've got to decide.
Can you throw Owen Burks in there too?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, he doesn't catch
him in there too.
Yeah.
No, I just want everybody. I want all the smoke. Yeah.
He played 57 snaps this year after playing 122 as a rookie. So, yeah, I think that absolutely, that's a concern. But, I mean, with Jeromo Allison, getting back to receiver, Jeromo Allison, Jake Kumerow, Al Mazzard, what is their actual potential? What can they become, or what's the lack of potential that they might have? And then tight end, Jimmy Graham. He's 3.6 in dead money if you release him this year. I'd be stunned if he was back for a third season. It would be really surprising. I would think that Mercedes Lewis, who is an impending free agent now, has a better chance of being back because, one, his price tag's not going to be near as much, and two, we talk about the run game. Mercedes Lewis as a blocker he still has it. I mean, he can block. He was some semblance of a receiving threat. So, yeah, there's a ton of questions in the skill position. Mm-hmm. Really, anybody after Devontae Adams.
Ryan, what do you think out of Jay Sternberger? Do you believe that they saw that he's going to be a piece moving forward? Because them being able to throw him in as much as they did in the NFC title game sure shows to it.
Yeah, there were some promising flashes for a rookie. It's hard to be a rookie tight end in this league. Mm-hmm. The learning curve from college is just gargantuan. I mean, it's huge. And for him to come on after missing the first half of the season and get some snaps and make some plays, obviously the touchdown in the NFC Championship game, it was promising. I think, though, there's talent. There's top of the depth chart talent that they need to add and also depth that they need to have. It's going to be a complete massive overhaul of the skill position, similar, I think, to what you saw last spring with the edge rush, with safety. It's going to be Brian Gutekunst is going to have no choice but to really attack that group aggressively this spring.
Well, since you bring his name up, he talks on Friday at 11 a.m. What's coming out of your mouth as far as questions? What do you want to know?
I want to just get a gauge, a temperature of what he thinks the team's needs are and where his mind is. I'd also be curious if, you know, in retrospect, does he feel like the assets that were pumped in terms of the money, the draft picks to that defense, netted as a whole, the collective, what he'd hoped to get from that unit? Because there was a lot of assets that were pumped in. And on an island, yeah, bringing the Smiths was a great idea, obviously. He added a pair of Pro Bowl talent edge rushers. But to take a step back and allow 7 more yards per game this season than the year before, after all those assets, you know, that I'm curious what he thinks that his commitment to the defense side of the ball netted him.
Ryan, appreciate it, man. It's been fun all year. We'll talk on Friday as well after Brian Gutekunst meets with the media at 11 a.m., and we'll talk at 4:35 right here on the Wendy's Big Show. Appreciate it, dude.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care.
That's Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com, and our Green and Gold Insider here on the Wendy's Big Show. He joins us as all our guests do on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local, you know, lending since 1935.
I was thinking yesterday when Steve said it was 4 or 5 players, and I kind of said maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, then you got to think that was the 14 games a fluke.
Oh, talk about a tease. We talk about that next, right? Is that good?
No question.
Okay.
No question about that.
Fired up.
I'm serious, man.
You see him have his mouth open after he said that? Yes.
Well,
was it a fluke?
He's ready to go.
I think we should touch on that tomorrow for real, though. That's all part of it.
Well, what you finna say, Steve?
They're back. While supplies last, perfect, you can buy a Wendy's Frosty key tag for $2, which in return, you get a free Junior Frosty with every purchase for an entire year. Great gift for teachers, coworkers, family, friends, whoever it may be. Give a gift while giving a gift to the Wendy's wonderful kids of Wisconsin in foster care. Let's help these kids find their forever home while supplies last.
Great Lakes Dragway Pick a Lane comes up next. You can react to the conversation. Was it the right decision to retain Mike Pettine? Or was this all a fluke like Leroy Butler just said? We hear his answer next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.